Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, I mentioned just prior to the break that there's some very important issues that are at stake in the church today. And one of the issues that's at stake is the law of God. Now, of course, the law of God itself, like Spurgeon said, you know, the scriptures itself is a lion. You don't have to defend it. You just let the lion out of its cage and it'll defend itself. And the law of God, of course, being the foundational structure of the word of God itself, is in that same category. However, we find today that there are these attacks against the law of God that are taking place in a number of different ways. There's a conference coming up that's going to deal with these subjects, and the conference coming up is the Spring Theology Conference that is sponsored by GPTS, which is the Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary, and their spring conference is entitled The Law of God in a Lawless Age. Now, there's something that we need. We're going headlong at a breakneck speed towards an antinomianism and maybe even in some way towards anarchy in certain segments of our society. And we need to understand the issue of the law of God. In fact, on the brochure it says this: the issue of the law of God is critical in the church today. What is the place of the Ten Commandments in the church and society? More particularly, what is the role of the law in your life as a Christian? To answer these and other questions, join us for this year's conference. And so this year's conference is going to take place in just, a week away, March 10th through the 12th. It's going to be held over at Woodruff Road Presbyterian Church. We'll give you more information here in just a few minutes. I thought, who better to speak about this subject than the president of the Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary, and also a professor there as well in historical and systematic theology. Dr. Joey Piper joined us today on the Knowing the Truth radio program. Dr. Piper, thank you for coming over to talk about this important issue.
Kevin, thank you, and thank you for having me today, and also for over the years working with you and your cooperation.
Well,
I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure to do so. There's a couple of things that have happened recently that come to my mind about the law of God, a couple of things that I don't want to spend the time, and I know you don't either, about talking about other ministries and some of the statements that they've made, but they have been hugely popular ministries in our local area, one of them, and the other one's a little bit more nationally or broadly known. But I'm thinking about two things. One, I'm thinking about Tully and Trevisan, and has made a lot of news about really focusing on the subject of grace. And obviously, from one perspective, we say, amen. You know, I like grace, too. I love grace. I love the grace of God, and I want to talk about that. But sometimes it seems and not the the most balanced way of looking at that subject. And two, just recently, more recently, we saw that Perry Noble, who was over there at New Spring, that he had made some comments about the Ten Commandments and really had reinterpreted the Ten Commandments in a pretty outrageous way, you know, really made them very man-centered in their approach and so forth. And there was a lot of attention that was given, so much so that there was a quasi-apology that was issued afterwards. So there seems to be a tremendous amount of confusion about the Ten Commandments. If you would just briefly address those two cases, and then let's make a segue from there into what this particular conference is going to do and address.
Thank you, Kevin. You know, Solomon said in Proverbs that too much of a good thing is bad. Too much honey is bad. And we love grace, but I call this hyper-grace. What we're seeing today, both on a more national stage as well in these local types of things, is a real confusion with respect to God's purposes in salvation. You know, John says in 1 John 3 that God delivered us, saved us, delivered us from unrighteousness, and that we might live righteous lives. Well, righteousness is measured by only one thing, and that's the law of God. That's why he gave it to us. The Ten Commandments given at Mount Sinai were an act of grace. God delivered his people and gave them a written law that was actually on Adam's heart from the before the fall, and on all men's hearts to a degree. That's how the conscience operates. And so it was a gracious act of God to give his moral law in the Ten Commandments and all the applications of that law, first for Israel, the ceremonial law, judicial law fulfilled in Christ and the church. But the moral law is a reflection of God's character and how he would relate to us, we to him, and to one another. And so it is unchangeable as he is. Now, in our own culture here, with a lot of dispensationalism and as well as a legalistic fundamentalism, there are great misunderstandings of the law of God, as you and I were talking about before we went on the air. There's the legalism that undermines the law of God by adding to the law man-made commandments. And thus people, when they react to legalism, overreact and react to God's gracious law. That's a problem. And then dispensationalism that does undermine the Ten Commandments and saying they were for the Old Testament people and not for us today. That's a misunderstanding. The promise of the New Covenant in Jeremiah 31 is, I will write my law, my Torah, on your heart. And so what we have now in the New Testament age is, in fact, that which was written on stone is now on our hearts, which means we in Christ are given yet a greater measure of grace to keep the law of God. And that our imperfect keeping of it is accepted because of union with Christ as we are accepted. Moreover, the Bible says, pursue that sanctification without which no one shall see the Lord. Justification, our being pardoned and constituted legally righteous, isn't an end in itself. It is the means to our being acceptable to God that we then might become conformed to the image of Christ. And again, the Ten Commandments is the pattern of that.
So there's multiple uses of the Ten Commandments. Three that people specifically talk about. Articulate those three uses, if you would, please. I think you're speaking at the conference on the third use of the law. So we'll obviously, as you go through laying out what those three are, we'll talk a little bit more about that third use.
Okay. The first is the pedagogical use. These actually came out of the Reformation, and that is the law brings us to Christ. It shows us what God requires. And, you know, God does require perfection to be accepted because he's perfect.
Amen.
And so the law teaches us what God requires, and it exposes our sin. Paul said, I wouldn't have known unless the law said you shall not covet. And that's what brought him out of his self-righteousness. And actually, Dr. Curto, our professor of evangelism, is going to give a lecture on that use of the law, no gospel without the law, showing that law work. The second use of the law is the restraining use, that God uses his law to hold in abeyance culture that would go crazy in immorality and anarchy without the restraint of God's law. So even people that wouldn't keep God's law out of any love for God are still restrained by it, as have been cultures. And one of the sad things in our own day is people now throwing off the law of God in marriage, in abortion, in sexuality. And as we do that, we're going to destroy the culture. So the law preserves. And the third use of the law is for the believer, and that is the opportunity to express our thanksgiving to God, our gratitude by our obedience. And I'm actually going to deal with Psalm 119, the second stanza, verses 9 through 16. Wherewithal shall a young man keep his way pure according to your law? And that God's word leads us, his spirit leads us in his law in the paths of obedience and gives us both understanding and grace that we then might seek God according to his law. And so the law, and what does David say? Oh, how I love your law. And so these people today who don't love the law of God are actually running counter to the very expressions of Scripture.
Yeah, and I think that they wouldn't say right outward that they don't love the law of God, but they would, in a number of ways, play down the law of God, speak about it as being passé or irrelevant to where we live today. But the very foundation of our salvation is upon Christ fulfilling the law of God. It's not as if God all of a sudden winked at sin and accepted us as righteous just because he's changed now his view of sin. I'll be preaching this week in the church that I pastor, Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, on Christ being the end of the law,
right,
in Romans chapter 10. And so Christ being the end, meaning that, you know, he's the purpose of the law, was to, as you pointed out, the schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. This is the standard that God has set, and Christ fulfilled that standard. And then the end of it, that it was all fulfilled perfectly, kept every jot and tittle, thought, word, and deed, every aspect, providing for us an impeccable righteousness that we stand before God. I can't even imagine the gospel without the law. I don't know how you can properly do so. So people are attempting to have a salvation without the law, which is just impossible, right?
Well, it is. And I know there's people, and their motives are quite good. But, for example, they won't speak out against homosexuality because they want to reach homosexuals with the gospel. But, you know, nobody told the Apostle Paul that.
Mm-hmm.
He was quite outspoken against homosexuality and said homosexuals not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And then he could turn around and say, and such were some of you. It's the law that exposes sin that God uses to bring people to Christ. And so I think you're not doing anybody a favor by hiding God's righteous demands from them. We don't do that self-righteously. We do it with broken hearts. But we still must proclaim the law of God. And that's actually Dr. Curto's title,
mm-hmm.
No Law, No Gospel.
I was able to have Dr. Richard Barcellos on the radio broadcast
as
well.
Yes, appreciate you doing that.
And he was talking about New Covenant theology. A lot of folks may not be aware of that. And I did express a little bit of frustration that I didn't have a source to go to really get a good understanding of what New Covenant theology speaks about. But one of the aspects of it is that there seems to be within New Covenant theology a bit of a disdain for the law of God, specifically the moral law of God. Is that fair?
Well, it is, and it's interesting. It's in its origins in the Sword and Trial and John Riesinger. When I pastored in Mississippi in the early 70s, I actually had John Riesinger a couple of times to my little church in Mississippi, and I was a bit bemused because there was a large group from a Bible church about 25 miles away that would come down to hear him. And they were very dispensational. They were soteriologically maybe Calvinistic, but it was only later when he finally wrote the first piece in the Sword and Trial about his view of the law that actually New Covenant theology has a dispensational view of the Ten Commandments and does not see a role of them in the New Covenant. So any ethical standard for the Christian would be simply the ethical standards of the Pauline epistles, but they're just applications of the Ten Commandments. So this has, I got exposed to it that way, and then when I was in Texas, that was one of the centers, I think, of it, with a really low view of the Lord's Day. In my book, On the Lord's Day, I actually address some of their critique then of the Christian Sabbath. So they also are a bit antinomian in terms of their approach to the Ten Commandments. They wouldn't want to be called antinomian, I'm sure, in terms of their lifestyle, and I imagine they're very godly people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to, Richard actually has written a book on this as well, and I'm looking forward to his lecture to learn a lot from him on it.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Piper mentioned, and this is for our listening audience, the idea of a dispensational view of the law. Let me just refer you to an interview that I did with Reggie Kimbrough, who's a minister in the Free Presbyterian Church, and he wrote a book called The Gospel According to Dispensationalism. We had a discussion about some of those elements, but basically the view there was that the law was only for national Israel, and it doesn't have any bearing on New Testament believers. You know, its usefulness is gone. It went away with the ceremonial and sacrificial law. Along went the moral law of God along with that. That would be a hyper dispensational viewpoint, although some elements of that seem to be be being adopted by different groups like New Covenant theology and so forth. Let me ask you about Dr. Mark Jones and his antinomianism. I had the pleasure of having Dr. Jones on. I hope when he's in town here I can speak with him again about his book on antinomianism. And he has really tried to address primarily the grace guys, as we were referring to them, the hyper-grace group, trying to help to bring some balance to that whole movement. Has he been successful at all?
You know, we'll have to ask him.
Okay.
I don't know that he has. I pray that he has. Mark is such an engaging man, mm-hmm. and he's got a really far out sense of humor. So if anybody can engage, and I know he's done some kind of tongue-in-cheek kind of things on Ref 21. So I'm praying that that he'll be able to interact with them and help them understand this. He's a brilliant young man, and he's also very committed to a godliness and what we call an experimental piety. So we're very excited about his coming, and I hope you can get him on again. That'd mm-hmm. be great.
If I remember right, was the book dealing, too, with the Puritan view of antinomianism?
Right. Mm-hmm. It pretty much developed. Well, excuse me, gets into this. The Lutheran Agricola is kind of the father of antinomianism, and he was mm-hmm. opposed not just by Calvin, but by Luther as well. Luther was not as weak on the law, personally, I think, as people historically have ascribed to him. But in England, a particular form of antinomianism developed amongst the Puritans, even more so in New England, with a low view of the Ten Commandments, probably an exaggerated view of justification, even an eternal justification, a lot of other things that were going on in that brand of antinomianism. Mm-hmm. So there's a historical antinomianism within Puritanism. It probably goes far beyond what we have today in the more popular brand mm-hmm. of antinomianism.
Mm-hmm. And again, for our listeners' sake, when we mention antinomianism, we're talking about lawlessness, you know, against the law, antinomian, against the law. And, you know, we hear a lot of this today that, you know, we're free to live however we want to live, especially within the church. We're hearing a lot of young people, part of the Young, Restless, and Reformed group in particular, that have kind of thrown off the yoke and said, hey, we're not under the law at all anymore. We can do whatever we want. We have tremendous liberty in every area, and therefore we can go ahead and live however we want because we're now under grace and not under law.
I was pastored in Houston in the 80s, and we had a lot of young adults that were either converted or came to the Reformed faith in our ministry, and then they would go to these singles activities around Houston, and they would come back and say to me that these other single adults don't think fornication is a sin. Hmm. Fornication is sex outside of marriage. And I was appalled then, but you know, that was 30-something years ago. It's much worse today in the church.
Hmm. I couldn't believe that Dr. John Piper had to speak about the issue of that Christians shouldn't be watching Game of Thrones, or is that what the title of it is? One of the HBO series, which reportedly is filled with nudity on a regular basis and so forth, and, you know, dark themes and all sorts of things. And then felt the need to actually tell the younger believers that they didn't have the liberty to be watching entire series of broadcasts on these types of things. So apparently some of the groups that he was dealing with had felt that they had the liberty to go ahead and do it. And this type of thinking, I don't know where it's coming from. I don't think we would have had to make that statement a number of years ago. I think people would have understood that that is inconsistent with holy living and that we shouldn't be viewing that type of television.
You know, the Young, Restless, Reformed, when I read that book when it first came out, the real problem there is that they were in a soteriology and then in a view of male headship in the family and in the church. Those were their two issues. But in the whole area of ethics and worship and ecclesiology, which you can see from one of the founders, Mark Driscoll, the disaster is there.
Yes.
It's lack. One of the reasons I did stuff like get on Facebook was to try to link up with people that are there, because there's much more to biblical Christianity than what many of them have been exposed to. And I don't know we've had much success.
It's a hard sell for us because they're being told they can have all of the benefits that you and I are talking about with the gospel without all of what they view as being a legalistic, cold, dry, dead type of theology associated with it. And yet we're telling them this is the gospel. This is what was always meant from the beginning, and what you have bought into is another gospel in some sense, you know, when it goes so far. Let me, we only have a couple minutes left here in the broadcast, 2 minutes, I think, or so. Let me let you have the final word on encouraging people why they should come to this conference.
Thank you. It's not too late to register and come to the whole conference. We would love to have you. It's going to be at the Woodruff Road Presbyterian Church, which is on...
I'm going to venture to say Woodruff Road.
It is on Woodruff Road. Yes, it is. There it is. It's 2519 Woodruff Road, straight down from Interstate 385. It starts at 1:15 registration, say at noon on Tuesday the 10th, and goes through noon on Thursday the 12th. If you're in the area, both the Tuesday and Wednesday evening services, Ian Hamilton's preaching on Tuesday night, I'm preaching on Wednesday night, open free to the public. We encourage you to come to any of the messages that you can. Also, Tuesday and Wednesday nights, we're going to be streaming those live on sermonaudio.com.
Excellent.
And so you'll be able to participate then. And then soon after the conference, the lectures will be posted also on sermonaudio.live and through our podcast that we have at the seminary. And let me just encourage you to follow up on these things. That once a month I do a faith and practice live broadcast on our podcast. Doesn't conflict with Kevin's program. And we take questions, but we've been dealing with a lot of these things as well. And you can learn about that on the seminary website. If you go to the website, GPTS.edu. You can learn about the conference. You can register for the conference. You can learn how to access the audios and things like that. But we think it's important. We encourage you to pray for us. And if you can get out, please come.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Dr. Piper, for coming into the studio today to talk about this. Again, that website is www.gpts.edu. That's gpts.edu. I'll be over there. They have a great bookstore. That's associated with it as well. I'll be over there. Come on by and say hello. I'll be doing some interviews over there. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.